We read in sacred scripture, we learn from sacred scripture that faithfulness to God entails the payment of a heavy price. Anyone who has been given the gift of faith and has striven to be faithful to God during the course of his or her years has come to experience precisely this fact. To be faithful, to remain faithful to God, requires the payment of a personal price, a very heavy personal price. There is no getting around this fact. This is brought home in the Old Testament by the first reading we heard, that of Abraham being called to offer up his son Isaac. The whole story of Abraham is very important for us to understand just what faith is. Indeed, St. Paul takes great pains to explain just how important the faith of Abraham is for Christians throughout his writings in the New Testament. Now, I reckon that you and I, if we have reached, or should God bless us with as many years as 75 years, when we reach 75 years of age, or if we have already reached that age, we imagine that we'll be in the so-called age of retirement, as it is commonly referred to today. We wouldn't expect at the age of 75 that we would have to start all over again. That's what our youth is all about. In our youth, we had all the world to conquer, everything to look forward to, right? When we get a little bit up in age, if you don't mind my saying that expression, I'm getting up in age too, then you have a different perspective, don't you? Now, at the age of 75, that's not the time to go about imagining to conquer new worlds, to start all over again, is it? But that's just what God exacted of Abraham. See, Abraham was 75 when God called him from the land of his fathers, in a land where his fathers worshipped other gods. So if you and I received such a calling, what would you and I think? Now, if you and I came up with these grandiose ideas when we were 75 years old, what would we think? We would think we were foolish. Said, okay, we're dreamers. Let's take a reality check here. I.e., if we're called to go to a strange land, which we will never come into possession in our lifetime, that we would have a child who would be the beginning of a great progeny at 75 years old. What then impelled Abraham at 75 years of age to do what he did? See how great his faith was? Moreover, see what sort of encounter Abraham had with God. He didn't go off into a strange land at 75 years of age based on some idea, based on some notion of trying to recapture his youth, etc., etc. He had a personal encounter with God. At 75 years of age, God encountered him. He responded. How did he respond? With an act of faith. That was the beginning of an entire journey of faith that lasted through the remainder of his life. Because God didn't fulfill the promises to Abraham all when he was 75 years. That was just the beginning. He made a promise that Abraham would have a son that would be the beginning of this great galaxy of descendants. But it took nearly 25 years for this to be fulfilled. All the while, Abraham, seeing nothing, persevered in that faith. Then, finally, the son comes, and then what happens? God says, offer him up. What does Abraham do? This is very important. This you won't find so much in the book of Genesis as you will in the letter to the Hebrews. How did Abraham respond when he was told by God through the angel to offer up his son as a sacrifice? We are told in the letter to the Hebrews that Abraham was willing to do so because he reckoned that God was able to raise one from the dead, i.e., Abraham used his powers of reason. See, faith is reasonable. When Abraham was called by God to go into a strange land, God did not call Abraham to do an irrational thing. When God elicits from us a response of faith, he does not call us to do something contrary to our reason. On the contrary, there is nothing more reasonable that we can do. Nay, we find out what reason is all about, what the fulfillment of reason is, who we really are as rational beings, when we decide to respond to this personal initiative of God in a most intimately personal way, by making the act of faith, but not making an isolated act, but making of my entire life an act of faith. But the thing is this, we can always ask ourselves the question, okay, well, I can do all these things, but what about God first? Why should I do these things? Why is it reasonable to make the act of faith as such? Because for however faithful I am, I might fail in my faithfulness. God, we are told, and we have the proof of it, he's faithful, and his faithfulness never fails. Abraham was called to offer up his son. What did God do? He offered himself up. What happened when Abraham offered up Isaac? God said, stay your hand. I see that you are faithful. Abraham, in the end, found a substitute in the place of Isaac to offer an offering to God. What did God do? He became man and did what? He didn't stay his hand in offering himself up for us. He went all the way. And he demonstrated what Abraham already figured out by the power of his reason 2,000 years before, that God was able to raise from the dead, because that's just what happened. God offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins, staying in our place this time. See, God stayed the hand in our regard, but did not spare his only son. In this case, we see the proof of what Abraham already intuited. God rose from the dead. And who's the testimony? Is it perhaps Peter, James, and John, whom Jesus took up on the mountain in this episode, this famous episode that's always recounted on the second Sunday of Lent, the Transfiguration? Who's the real testimony? Is it not the mother of the Lord? Who saw, who perceived the glory of the Lord before the three apostles on the holy mountain? Who understood these things? The one who said yes to God when the Annunciation. She knew who this was of her. She knew the price of faithfulness to God. She bore that price, and she paid it, and she possesses it. She knew she didn't have to be on that holy mountain. She did not have to see the glory of the Lord. She did not have to hear the words of the Lord proclaimed on that holy mountain. This is my beloved son, listen to him. She was rather telling the apostles and all the disciples of the Lord, and she tells us today the same. Listen to him. This is the beloved son. This is my son. Listen to him. who can teach us to be faithful? Who is faithful? Who is the witness? Who shows us how reasonable it is to remain faithful to the Lord, that the price that the Lord exacts of us is not commensurate with the price that he paid in our regard? Who reminds us that the Lord is faithful to his promises? Who encourages us to share in the faithfulness of the Lord and the price that he pays in order that we may then share in the glory? None other than the one whose faith upholds the entire church, the Mother of the Lord. Let us pray then to Mary, the Immaculate Mediatrix, that we will understand and live that faithfulness and not be like so many of this generation who imagine that to be reasonable means to exclude faith. That's a most unreasonable position. How many people today have a conception of God who is unreasonable? A God who is arbitrary, who does whatever he pleases. This cannot be the conception of any God. So far from reality, to such a one, and there are many, and I'll leave it to your imagination to figure out who those are, God is cannot be any more than an unreasonable idea. But God is not that. He's not simply a figment. He comes to me personally. He prayed personally the price out of personal love for me. And he must have nothing else for me but a personal response. And a personal response is a response of my all being. And there is no personal response like a sacrificial offering of self out of love for God. Let us beg Mary Most Holy, who offered herself totally in union with her Son, to show us how to do the same. Praise be Jesus and Mary.